those praise reports.
But I mean, we've seen so many people healed of cancer and all kinds of things. So many lives turned around because of the power of prayer, of agreement with prayer warriors. So we encourage you to use our prayer line. There's no obligation for doing that.
It's at prayers@bohmglobal.com.
That's it. All right, station ID. We're glad you're joining us on Living the Good Life. And stay right there. We got one more hour here of the precious word and great word of music. All right, welcome back. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Pastor Jim, my associate pastor. Betty was just on, and now we got Megan calling in, her daughter, to kind of take over her responsibilities right there. Megan, are you on the air?
Hi, you guys.
Hey, Megan.
I always have to turn your mom's volume way up and yours way down. What happened there,
mother-daughter?
No. You're just hilarious, and you're so fun. And it's good to hear your voice, and we've missed you. And good to see you. And we are continuing. We just talked about prayer. We're continuing to believe for a job for your husband, Ben, because he's been out of work for a few weeks now.
Amen. Amen. It's coming.
Yes.
It's coming.
So we praise God with you for that right now. And
Amen.
Thank God. So, you know, we've been talking about different aspects of the ministry, just kind of throwing them in there. We also have a ministry in Puebla, Mexico. And our ministry here, Beacon of Hope Ministries, has a radio station there. We've been airing broadcasts live, and we've got several good shows down there. And that's libresoy.mx. If y'all want to check that out. In fact, Enrique, the director of the station, is actually revamping our website right now. So it might say under construction. I don't know. But it's being revamped to be more effective. And we're just praising God and thanking God for the ministry of our radio station there in Mexico in Spanish. That's one ministry. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of the month. Pastor Jim, what do we do on the first Sunday of the month?
On the first Sunday of the month, we go to the nursing home, Palm Garden.
Yes.
And corner of Curlew and McMullen Booth. And we do a worship service. I wouldn't even call it a church service.
It really ends
up being a worship service with the residents there.
Just great. Oh, last time we had a lot of new ones come in their wheelchairs. And I mentioned this last time, but one of the ladies that was at the service last month, Megan, is a lady that was at our very first Beacon service and was with us for a couple years back then. Her name was Sue, and she was baptized in my pool that she told me when I went over to say, "You look so familiar." She goes, "Well, I should be familiar to you." And I said, "Wait a minute." And when she said that in that voice, I knew immediately who she was. I said, "You're not Sue, are you?" "Yeah, I am." And I said, "Oh, my gosh." And she said, "You baptized me in your cold pool." And I was the second one to be baptized at Beacon of Hope in your cold pool. And so we laughed about that, but she's now at Palm Garden. And I tell you, it was joy. It always is to go to nursing home ministry. So much fun to minister to these that's their church. We go the first Sunday of every month. What do we do on Wednesday night, Pastor Jim?
On Wednesday nights, we have the gathering.
Yes.
We get together, first of all, for prayer at 6 o'clock. We use the Prayers That Avail Much book, and which are really good because they're just Bible, scripture-based prayers. So we're praying the word.
Yes.
And we also take prayer requests, praise reports, and just before our actual service starts at 6:30, we enter into a time of prayer.
Yeah.
Then 6:30, we praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We get into the word, and then we have our Facebook post, praise God.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's an interactive Bible study. Bring a notebook, bring your Bible, bring your dinner. It's just a great time of fellowship.
Anybody, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us 6 o'clock for prayer meeting and 6:30 for Bible study. And we usually get on the air for Facebook around 7:30 on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do the post from home. It just depends on what's going on. But normally Wednesday night, 7:30, you can find the post live on my page, and then we put it immediately on Beacon of Hope Ministries. Megan, you watched the Facebook post. Would you comment on that, and then would you talk about our Go Yard show, please?
Absolutely. The Facebook post, are so enlightening and such a great thing, because like someone from myself that is north of you in Indiana, I don't get to join you as frequently as I would love to. And so, you know, I get to hear the word and I get to have my spirit fed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's awesome because Facebook will send you a notification as soon as you're live. So everybody
right.
needs to friend Pastor Marcia on Facebook.
Right.
Then to bring up Go Yard, you guys, you yourself, your alias is Mama Mac.
Yeah, my alias.
Angel,
yeah.
Yes. Mr. Angel Falzoni on Thursday night. You guys are live at, is it 6:06?
6:06 p.m. right here on this station every Thursday night. Yes.
And you guys are an awesome team. You really dive into some hot topics that everybody deals with in their daily life. And good advice, good wisdom. And you can call in the show and ask questions. It's amazing. So everybody needs to check that out.
Absolutely. And it is an interactive show. And you can call in on Thursday night show. This one is not, but the Thursday night show is. It's a life coaching show. It's a counseling show. We handle every kind of topic, and we've been on the air almost 3 years now on Thursday nights.
I can't believe that.
I know. It's amazing, and we have quite a following. We get a lot of questions that come in that we use for our question and answer show. PJ, do you want to comment on that show as far as, I mean, it's not a God show, quote unquote, but it's godly wisdom from Dr. Angel and I.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it may not be like this show.
Right.
But the spirit's there.
Yes, it is.
You know.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool, because some people think, well, a religious show is one thing and not another, or a life coaching show is one thing and not another.
Yeah.
God's bigger than that.
That's right.
You know.
Amen. Okay. Let's get going here. The next song we're going to do is What Faith Can Do by Cutlass. You know that song, PJ?
I do know that
Megan,
song.
You do too, don't you? Do you love that?
I love that song.
Woo! Let this song encourage you. This is what faith can do. So let's grow our faith during this show and during this hour.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take. But you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step. Out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life's so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is.
Praise God. Absolutely. That's what faith can do. And we see it right here in Genesis chapter 4 as Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, believes that Abraham is sending him on a mission, that God is going to be right there with him, and that he will be successful because he prays specifically in about verse 13 or so, maybe 12. He prays to God when he gets to the right town. Remember, without the GPS, he gets there. And he had his spiritual GPS tuned in. And he prayed, "Oh God, God of my master Abraham." I'm in the Message Bible. "Make things go smoothly this day." That's okay to pray that. I love to pray that. God, just cause the day to be a great day. Cause everything to work together perfectly. Okay? "And treat my master Abraham well. As I stand here by the spring," he was out by the well on the outside of town, "while the young women of the town come out to get water, let the girl to whom I say, 'Lower your jug and give me a drink,' and who answers," you talk about a specific prayer, PJ, "'drink, and let me also water your camels. Let her be the woman you have picked out for your servant Isaac. Then I'll know that you're working graciously behind the scenes for my master.'" Very specific prayer.
Yes, it was.
Point two today, pray specifically.
And I like it because he says, "Grant me success."
Grant me success, yeah.
"And show loving kindness to Abraham."
Right.
"And this is how I'd like for you to do it."
Right. Right. You know? Isn't that great?
And remember, not only is he saying, "Okay, to the girl I say, you know,
give me a drink.
Give me a drink." And she replies, "Sure, I'll give you a drink," but then volunteers to water these 10 camels.
And that had to take a whole lot of time. Talk to us, Megan. We talked about it Wednesday night, how long it would have taken to water 10 camels who have built-in water bags inside their bodies.
Right. That would seem like a never-ending task.
Wouldn't it?
But it would. But, you know, when you have a servant's heart, it doesn't matter how long it takes to complete a task that the Lord has called you to do.
Right.
And, you know, praying specifically is vitally important because not only are we, you know, being honest with the Lord of the desires of our heart or the desires for a situation, but it also those prayers enlist our faith because we're speaking positivity upon the situation. And that has such a huge impact on our spirit.
It does.
And on our mindset for the day, because we start out in a positive way. We start out, number one, talking to the creator of the earth and the creator of us and praising him that we're even, you know, still here breathing and walking this planet. But yet we're also devoting that time to him, which is so vitally important.
Yes, yes. Woo, right on, right on. Talk to us about that, PJ.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, I'm a case manager, social worker by profession. And you know, we talk about making goals with our clients. You make them specific so that they can be measured. If I just say, oh.
Amen. People write that down. Specific goals so they can be measured. That refers back to my little 5-week chart, by the way.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Right.
Specific. And because if I just say, oh, Lord, I need some money this week. Well, he may give you $5. You're not going to really know whether that was answered or not. But, Lord, I need I need $597.23 for this certain expense.
Right.
And lay that out before the Lord. Mm-hmm. When he gives you that $590 I said and 23 cents. Then you can say, wow, he answered it.
Right.
I know he answered it. Because that way you know when that prayer is going to be answered.
If
you're just kind of out and around with your prayers, you're not really going to have I personally, this may be stepping on toes, but it kind of shows a lack of faith.
Right.
I need to be specific with God.
Right.
He wants us to be specific.
Exactly.
All through the Bible, we see these specific types of prayers.
Right.
Jesus in the garden, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If not, your will be done. Well, we know how, you know, praise God, Jesus did what he had to do.
Right.
But everybody prays specific prayers. I think of Gideon with the fleece. All right, Lord, let it be all damp around the fleece, but dry on the fleece.
Right.
And then dry all around the fleece, but wet, damp on the fleece.
Exactly.
Those are specific prayers. And you know that when they get answered, you know exactly when those types of prayers get answered.
Exactly. Lord, you know exactly.
Yeah. And Lord, I need healing.
Yeah.
For what? You know, be specific. What do you need healing for?
Exactly.
So that when he does heal you, and he will heal you, you know you've been healed.
It's exactly right. And we see that here in verse 15 of Genesis 24. It so happened that the words were barely out of his mouth, Eliezer's, when Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, very important, whose mother was Milcah, wife of Nahor, in other words, Abraham's brother's granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. So she and Isaac would have been second cousins.
Second,
first
third,
cousins,
whatever, yeah, removed, kind whatever. Of weird. She's the very one who came up to the well, and the girl was stunningly beautiful, a pure virgin. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, came back up. The servant ran to meet her and said, "Can I have a sip of water from your jug?" And she said, "Certainly, drink." And she held the jug so he could drink. And when he had satisfied his thirst, she said, "I'll get water for your camels until they've drunk their fill." She promptly emptied her jug into the trough, ran back to the well to fill it. She kept at it until she had watered all the camels. Specific is answer to prayer, specifically correct from what Eliezer had prayed. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, Megan.
Well, you know, sitting here, kind of piggying back off what Pastor Jim was saying, it is extremely important to be specific in your prayers. But I think another good tip for people would be to get a journal.
Yes. Yes.
Because
I have several.
Amen. Your prayers are going to change on a daily basis because our lives change on a daily basis.
Right.
And if you don't speak them into existence, and if you don't write them down, how are you going to track when they were answered?
Right.
Because when you leave a trail and you go back and you look and, oh my gosh, I had forgotten about that, and look what God did. That's
exactly.
That's a faith builder right there. That will build your faith.
I totally agree.
And, you know, I know that, I don't have time for that. Well, make time for it, because the Lord makes time for you all day long, 24/7, 365.
There you go.
So if you want to see changes in your life, you have to make changes too, and you've got to make praying a priority.
Absolutely. You know, I so agree. I have these little tiny journals that I get at Staples and they're Moleskine little books. And I tell you what, I've got so many of them I can't even begin to tell you over the last several years. But I usually carry like three of those with me, the last three, the most recent three or four with me, like when I went to Texas, etc. And when I have a minute, I'm waiting on somebody or I'm in early in the morning, I'll start looking at those. And Megan, you're exactly right. I see where I've put a check mark on the date when the prayer was answered, and it builds my faith. Pastor Jim, talk about that. That's what we need to do, is journal and record.
Right. Well, that's the same reason I use the praise reports, because I'm always reminded of Samuel. When the Israelites defeated the Philistines, he raised a stone and he named it Ebenezer.
Right, that's right.
Stone of help. Because yes. He said, thus far has the Lord God helped us.
Yes.
That stone was a memorial to remind them.
Right.
That what God had done for them. We need those memorials in
we
our
do.
Lives.
We
when
do.
Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan, he had them put a stone monument there.
Right.
To remind them that this was where God brought us through the
yes.
Jordan River.
Yes, yes, yes.
We've got to have those memorials in our lives, because we are human. We tend to forget. We tend
right.
to minimize. But here we have proof. We have it in writing what God has done for us
Absolutely.
Individually.
And, you know, that's the value of the Word of God, you know. Romans 10:17 says the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when we study stories like this, it increases our faith. Look at this. God specifically answered the prayer of Eliezer exactly to the T, the way that Eliezer put it before God. And when we see these stories, they build our faith. Talk to us, Megan.
Well, they do, and that's the purpose of all of the stuff that's written in the Bible. It's examples of the hard times for those in the Bible, especially Jesus. And then there's the end result, the magnificent miracles that occurred that we use and can see the value in today in the 20th century. And so not only is praying vitally important, it also is vitally important to attend church and to get in a Bible study and learn the Word of God, because that also strengthens your faith.
Oh, it certainly does. Oh, it does. You know, when we work, I mean, it's not drudgery. It is a joy for me when I sit down with my little journal. And usually I'll turn, just open it somewhere, just see what God wants to say right then. And it invariably, it's exactly what I needed right that moment, and it builds my faith. Pastor Jimmy, you want to talk about this before we do the song Believe by the Katinas?
Very true. You know, it's God wants us to remember. And I was just thinking of the Psalms. A lot of times in the Psalms, we remember what you did here and here and here.
David was famous for saying, I remember how you did this, well, you did that.
Yeah, and they recount the Exodus.
Right,
and,
yeah.
God's, you know, they recount all of that. Without that, I mean, that's a faith builder.
It is.
To read that in the Word, because... I just read this morning when David died, Solomon's going to build the temple. And David says, look, you promised me that my son would sit on the throne. And then when Solomon prayed, he said, Lord, you answered, you gave this promise to my father, David, that I would sit on the throne.
Right.
And you have done it.
Reminding God and then thanking him for it.
For what he did.
So, folks, we're going to play the song because it speaks to all of our hearts that we just need to believe. We need to believe God for our individual situation. I don't know what you're going through today, but God certainly does know what it is. I was ministering to somebody this morning, and I was directing that person to the book of Psalms, like Pastor Jim just said, and we're going to go to Psalm 31 in a minute for a couple of verses. But I said the book of the Bible that has helped me so much through very difficult times in my life has been the book of Psalms, as Pastor Jim said, because David, who wrote most of the Psalms, not all, but most, David was so good about reminding God about what he needed and declaring things that were really going on, like, oh, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me, saying of me, there is no help for him or no deliverance for him in God. That's Psalm 3. But thou, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head, and declaring it, you know?
And the Psalms, I mean, we think, oh, I can't get that earthy, that angry, that emotional. I'm sorry, read through the Psalms. David cried out. Good things, he praised God for the good things, but he let his anguish, there were times he was in anguish. Well, in
absolutely.
Psalm 3, when you talked about it, that's when he's being chased, I believe, by his son.
Absalom.
Who had rebelled against him, yeah. And a lot of those Psalms were written when he's being chased by Saul.
Right.
And he's just in anguish, and it's okay to do that. It's okay to pour out your anguish before God. And especially in those Psalms of David, I'm sorry, I know I'm getting
No, you're right on.
By the time you get to the end of those Psalms, David has changed from anguish crying out to praising God.
For thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Love it. Believe by the Katinas.
One. think of what can mean when you let his love for you shine through. When you are weak, when you are weak, be strong. When you are lost, he'll lead you home.
Praise God. We just got to believe, folks. Whatever you're going through, you got to believe that God has the answer for you, as Abraham and Eliezer did, and they believed that God would provide the right person as a wife for Isaac. Got to believe. Got to believe. Great song. Great song. So we're in Genesis 24, and Eliezer has found the girl, but then now there's a decision that the girl has to make, too. Whether or not she is going to actually be allow herself to be taken back to the promised land with Eliezer. And so, long story short here, the family, Eliezer is invited. Do you want to talk about that, PJ, to the family to have dinner and stay all night?
Well, yeah, and I just want to make one comment, which before we get past it, Eliezer sees her doing this. When she's finished, he gives her some gifts. And then he asks her, well, whose family are you? And she tells him. And what does Eliezer do?
Boom. I love this.
I mean, right there, he bowed his head and worshiped the Lord.
Verse 26, he knows it's God in this midst of
right.
this,
and
doesn't
he? Prayer is recorded. Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not denied his loving kindness
yes.
and his truth for my master.
Right.
As for me, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brothers. So, I mean, right there, another important thing, we pray our specific prayer, God answers. We need to thank him for it. We need to
right
worship
away.
And praise him for
yes.
it.
Yes.
So then, okay, they go to the house, and he meets Rebecca's brother,
right.
Laban. And he says, you know, come in, tell us what's going on. They set food before him, and he does. He says, I'm Abraham's servant. And I don't know how I don't think communication was all that good. You know, how is Abraham? We haven't heard anything for 25 years. Well, he's got a son now, just so you know. Actually,
yeah.
He's got two. But he said, this is what's happened. The Lord's really blessed him, given him a son.
Right.
I've come. This is what he wanted me to do. Abraham told me to do this. I got specific with the Lord, and along comes Rebecca.
Right.
So it looks like she's the one that needs to come back with me.
Right.
And, you know, they just, well, in verse 50, well, this, you know, Laban and Bethuel answered, well, this matter's come from the Lord. We dare not speak good or bad.
Right.
You know,
they could see God's hand in it.
Right. We cannot interfere. But
they try to interfere.
But they try to interfere because, let me see, where is it down in? Well, he gives all the gifts in verse 43, and then they eat and drink.
Verse
54, well, they said they spent the night there. In the morning, they got up and said, now I've got to go back to Abraham.
Yeah.
Eliezer said, it's time for me to go back. And I love it. But Rebecca's brother, Laban, and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, at least 10. You know, that's kind of a point. Then she may go.
Right.
And it's a point I made earlier in the show was, and Laban is kind of symbolic of the devil here.
Right.
Who would like to just get us to postpone.
Right.
You know, what was it? King Herod said, oh, I'm almost persuaded, Paul.
Yeah, almost.
Almost. Just get us, let me, you know, I just want to put it off.
Right.
For a while. And that's what the devil wanted to do here, was to interfere.
Right.
Because we know as human beings, if we, and I'm as guilty as anyone, if I don't do something when I say I'm going to do it,
right,
I ain't going to do it.
That's exactly right. That's human nature. We put it off. The distractions come. We don't get it done. Then we beat ourselves up because we didn't get it done. So it's a catch-22. When we allow the devil to distract us and put off the thing that we're supposed to do, then we get more condemnation from the devil because we put it off.
Right. And sometimes we just don't even do it at all.
Right.
We get distracted. Then we get another distraction and another. And think of what would have happened had Rebecca stayed.
Oh, they would have convinced her not to go. This, you know, really was. I don't think you should go.
And if we think later on,
yeah,
with Rebecca and Isaac's son, who meets Laban,
right,
later on.
Right. Sees the real attitude in Laban.
Right. And, you know, Laban was as much of a deceiver as Jacob.
Oh,
was.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't think, you know, you're right. If Rebecca had hesitated, she wouldn't have gone.
She wouldn't have gone.
But I love this. In verse 57, we'll call the girl and ask her, see what she prefers. Verse 58 of Genesis 24, will you go with this man? And I was thinking about that today. That's the question the
yes.
Holy Spirit
yes.
asks each
one,
of,
one
us,
of us right now.
Will you go with this man? Will mm-hmm. you go with Jesus?
Amen.
And she said, I will go.
Yeah.
I mean, it just hit me right there. The Holy Spirit asks each one of us that question.
Mm-hmm.
Will you go with this man?
That's right. And oh, that's huge. That'll preach. That is preaching. You're preaching it.
I know I am.
And that is so good. It reminded me back years ago at Cornerstone. Megan, maybe you remember this because you were part of the congregation. There was an old song that we kept singing a lot during those last few months before God called me out to come to Florida, and it's a song that says, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or hill or sea, something like that. I'll be what you want yep. me to be, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Do you remember that at all, Megan?
I do, and you know, that can be a really hard song or a really hard thing to say out loud, because it's so hard for our human nature to let go.
It is.
We don't have a sight vision of the things to come for all of the good things that we do here on earth, but how we'll be blessed in eternity. It's hard to see the big picture.
It is.
And even for me right now in my life, even for my husband, it's hard to realize, okay, Lord, I'm going to go wherever you want me to go. I'll be wherever you want me to be, and I want to be who you want me to be. And it's hard. The longer you wait, the harder it gets.
Yes.
But you have to realize, Lord, what are you showing me through this section of my life?
Right.
What am I to learn about
yes.
you during
yes.
this?
Yes.
And, you know, it's important that, you know, if you have those demonic distractions in your life, that you pray that the Lord show you what and who those are so that they can be removed.
Amen.
Because it's taking you away from your goals. It's taking you away from your eternity focus. It's taking
right.
you away from your spiritual life, and it's taking you away from your blessings. And I just, you know, if you, whatever goals you have in that prayer journal, write them in there. Write the goals that you have to be a Christian, and strive and focus on that on a daily basis.
Right.
And you'll be amazed that, you know, even something just very, very small, that once you make that change, how big of an impact that it makes on your life.
You said consistent. You said, you know, what do you put your focus on? You know, is your focus growing your relationship with the Lord? Is your focus learning the ways of God and how to hear his voice better and more clearly? Is your focus simply having a good time in life and just going from one event to the next and just parting it up from this one to that one to the next thing? Is that your focus, or is your focus eternally minded, where you want to be all that God wants you to be, so that when your time comes and you're in heaven, and he, you know, that he does say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So important there, PJ. Megan, you're right on. So was your mama earlier. Go on, PJ.
Oh, I wasn't sure if I wasn't sure if we were done with Megan yet. So, Megan, you and I got to get on here sometime and just preach to each other.
I would love that, Pastor Jim. I would love it.
That would be great. Well, here, God calls for a decision. He may be talking to people, listeners today, or whenever you're listening to this. He may be asking you for a decision. Don't put it off.
Amen.
You know, don't put it off. If he's calling you to do something, don't put it off. And I know he's talking to me about things I need to do and not keep putting off, like figuring out how to type. But he's got a plan, and there are people listening. God's had a call on your life, and you've been afraid for whatever reason to fulfill that calling. You don't, because of your life situation, you do not think you are worthy to be what God has called you to be. And that's just a lie of the devil, because God doesn't, the gifts and the calling of God were irrevocable.
Amen.
I was called of God to preach long before a lot of situations happened in my life. And I believed the lie for a long time that because of who I am, I could not do what God had called me to do.
Right.
And God turned that around.
Amen.
And I just really think there's people out there listening today where you feel disqualified.
Yeah.
And God still has his call on your lives. He's waiting for you to say, "I will go with this man.
Yeah.
I will go with Jesus."
Yeah, amen.
And don't be afraid, because God loves you, and he would not have kept calling you otherwise.
Right.
And I just know from experience, it's best to just say yes.
Yes, it is. It's best to say yes. You know, this is interesting, because what I hear you both saying is God produces or plans opportunities in our lives where we have choices. Mm-hmm. We have choices. And Rebecca had a choice here. I mean, the family wanted to stay home another 10 days, and during that 10 days, she would probably have had so many distractions that she just didn't get around to going.
Mm-hmm.
But she understood in her heart that this was God. God had done this, and she said, "I'm ready to go. I'll go with this man." Okay? I was trying to decide what song to do right here, And this is an interesting choice, but I hear what God's voice is saying. It's God of the City with Chris Tomlin, because you are the city of God. You are the habitation of Almighty God. And you are the temple of Almighty God. Is he God of your city? You? Doesn't have to be a physical city like Clearwater or Richmond, Indiana, or wherever. It's the city of God is you. You are the temple of Almighty God. Think about that as we play this, and then we'll talk more on the other side of the song. Love it. God of the city. Yes, I declare he's God of my city. Is he of yours?
You're the God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation. You are, you're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless. You are, there is no one like I. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things
Amen.
Are
Listen.
Still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city, you're the King of this people, you're the Lord of this nation. You are, you're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless. You are, there is no one like I.
Dear one, greater things for you.
Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done. We believe in you, God. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
Praise God. That's for your life, greater things. Jesus said, John 12. Greater things will you do because I go to the Father. We have so much to be done, so much work to be done in our individual lives and as we influence others for the kingdom of God. Let God speak to you through this song and this show today. Megan, talk to us.
Oh, that song, and especially what Pastor Jim said before the song.
Right, I know.
This really resonated to me this afternoon. But, you know, we don't know how great our potential is when we let the Lord lead through our lives and lead through the things that we touch and through the words that we speak from our mouth. And our potential is something that I can't even fathom about how amazing that it could be if we all gave our all to the Lord. That, because I know every day that when he knows that when we wake up, is he's wondering, are you going to give me 100% today? Are you going to give me your all? And, you know, I'm guilty of not doing that because sometimes life hurts.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just become quiet sometimes because you're trying so hard just to survive. But there's more to this life than just surviving.
That's right.
We are capable of thriving even through some horrible circumstances that come our way because of the Lord, because of Jesus, because Amen. Of what he came and did for us here on this earth. And, you know, if we could just realize the possibilities that lay in front of us if we would just give our all.
Amen. Right on. Let's look at Isaac as we finish this up, and then I'll go back to you both for comments. In verse 62, Isaac was living kind of out in the desert time, and he went on a trip, kind of a little vacation. And didn't he go back to that spring, Pastor Jim, where Hagar was?
Yes, he went back to
kind of that,
the well of the living one who sees me,
yeah.
Which was where Hagar had met the angel of the Lord.
In Genesis 16.
Yeah, when she was pregnant with Isaac.
Yeah, it's so interesting that that's where he goes. The God who sees me, the well of the God who sees me. And he comes back, and he's out walking in his field in the evening in the cool of the day, meditating on God, and looks up and sees camels coming. And when Rebecca looked up and saw Isaac, because she was on one of those camels, she got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man out in the field coming toward us?" "That is my master." Okay. She took her veil and covered herself. And Isaac is symbolic of Jesus, okay, coming to the bride here, okay? And the bride, of course, Rebecca is symbolic of the bride, and we as the body of Christ are the bride of Christ. Abraham is symbolic of God the Father, and Eliezer of the Holy Spirit here, because he went and did the work, right, Pastor Jim?
Amen.
Get all that right?
Amen.
All right, after the servant told Isaac the whole story of the trip, Isaac took Rebecca into the tent of his mother Sarah. He married her. She became his wife. He loved her. And Isaac found comfort after his mother's death, because Sarah had died at this point. Whew. Pastor Jim, give us your comments, and we'll go to Megan for a final time here, I think. We're getting close on time.
Yeah, I love this. And I told you on Wednesday night, there was a song we used to sing back at the campus house when I was at Ball State, called Camel Train. It was just a beautiful song about this entire chapter and relating it to Jesus and the church. And that's right. So true. I mean, I love it that, first of all, Isaac was in prayer. He was meditating.
Right. Just like Jesus did.
Just like
the
Jesus.
Yeah.
And he raises his eyes, sees the camel train coming in. Well, then Rebecca sees him and finds out who it is, and she, you know, in humility, covers herself, puts the veil on, and then they come together as man.
She
and
goes
wife.
To him, isn't that like we have to, as the bride of Christ,
right.
Go to Jesus.
He comes
and
calls us. We respond and go to him.
Amen.
And on that day, he's going to come for us, and
right.
we will go and meet
we
him.
We will go and meet him.
And
praise God. Good stuff.
I mean, it is. It's wonderful. Then I love it that he just took her in marriage and she became his wife.
Yeah.
You know, and wow. I mean, just the way God answered this whole thing. And here,
yes,
Isaac does get a bride.
Right.
Just like Abraham wanted. And
the one.
The one. And Abraham was 140 at this point.
Right. Exactly.
Isaac was already 40.
40.
And, you know, praise God. Apparently, Isaac just waited this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Abraham had talked to him, but Isaac waited.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac patiently waited until the time was right, and then the bride came.
And Jesus is patiently waiting in heaven until the perfect timing. Perfect right. timing. And our Facebook post this week was hashtag perfect timing. You can put that in Facebook and find it. Hashtag perfect timing. And Jesus is waiting for the perfect timing when he will come and get his bride, which is us. Oh, I love this. Megan, you want to comment on any of that? Wow, isn't this beautiful?
Absolutely. And, you know, just kind of speaking on the word of perfect timing, there is no perfect time to get closer to the Lord other than this moment right here, right now.
Sure.
There's no need to wait. There's no need to say, oh, well, I'll start tomorrow. Oh, I'll start next month. No, do it now.
Right.
Because there's nothing to wait on.
Right.
Because start the reward system now. And what I mean by that is the reward system that you get for praying, the reward system that you get through praising the Lord,
woo,
the rewards that you get through going to church and meditating on the Word.
Yes.
It's time to start making a change. Start to live your life the way that the Lord has it set forth to happen.
Right.
Not yourself.
Right. Time's a wasting, you know? take advantage of this opportune moment, you know, in your life. Listening to this show today, has God been speaking to your heart? Is it time for you to recommit to him or commit to him for the first time? If so, it's easy. Just ask him to come and live on the inside of you. Ask him to forgive your sins. Tell him you want him to be your personal Lord and Savior, that you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Tell him those things and invite him to come and live on the inside of you. That's what it's all about, this personal relationship with Almighty God. Megan, I'll come back to you for a final word in a minute. Pastor Jim, talk to us.
Well, you pretty much summed it all up. And Megan, I agree. You know, well, Scripture says, behold, now is the day. Now is the appropriate time.
Yes.
Now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
There's no reason to put it off.
Right.
None.
Right.
And, you know, he's calling.
Amen.
And all we need to do is respond. Say yes to God.
Absolutely. Oh, praise God. You know, I love this series we're in. It's Precious Promises. And the reason we're doing this is to remind each of us that when we hang on to these promises of God, for instance, I want to give you this one before we get off the air today. It is Psalm 31, verse 19, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who love you, which you bestow, who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. That's verses 19 and 20 of Psalm 31. How great is your goodness, Lord? Those are promises to us, written by the pen of David. How great is your goodness, Lord? You save us from all the junk that comes at us. Why? Because we dwell in your shelter of your presence. And so we take those promises today as we have talked about this wonderful story of Isaac finding his bride, which is so like Jesus finding his bride, the bride of Christ, which you're a part of, if you know him as your Lord and Savior. Megan, final thought.
Well, you know, I just have a couple of things here in front of me from one of our services at our church here in Indiana, is that this is even amazing that this is in front of me right now, because this is for me too, is always remember, when God guides, he provides.
Right.
God's timing is divine, and God is in control.
Yes.
And when you finally realize that, and when you see it happening in front of your eyes, it's just like you've seen a small miracle.
Right.
And, you know, God is still in the miracle-working business, and it can be something that you think that is so tiny, but that is something to give him praise about. No matter
yes.
how small you think it is, it's still a monumental event in your life, and you need to document it. You need to praise him for it, and you need to remember that moment, because they come in a flood, and they come many. And even during hard times, the miracles come. And I can speak to that. I am a testimony to that, and I just pray that everyone that hears this show makes a change, and they start now, and they don't wait.
Praise God, Megan. Thank you, Megan Kramer. You are amazing. We love you. We're so glad you're part of our radio team. And you and your mama are quite a force to be reckoned with. So
I'll say.
We love you both. We love you both, you and Betty, very much.
We love you too.
Pastor Jim, final words.
Well, God is faithful. He showed it to Abraham. You know, he gave him a son.
Right.
And then, you know, later on, you know, he said, this is what I need for you to do, Eliezer. I need to get a bride. And I love the fact it was Abraham who kind of commissioned
right,
this
sure.
whole thing. And he's very specific about who he needed to be the bride. And I
right.
have a feeling Abraham, you know, all he'd heard, it says in just in the chapter before, he heard Bethuel had some kids. That's all he knew.
That's all he knew.
So go find a daughter from among them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he knew Rebecca even existed
right.
per se.
No.
And yet God in his faithfulness led Eliezer.
Directly.
Specifically
there.
Answered Eliezer's prayer to the letter and brought home a bride for Isaac.
Praise God.
God is so faithful.
What a great show. I've loved discussing this with you, Betty and Megan today, Pastor Jim. It's just been a powerful word. You
Amen.
Can hear it again. It'll be up on podcast tonight or tomorrow, right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. Also, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. We have an agreement with them, and they play our shows beginning at 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, followed by the Counseling Go Yard show that we do on Thursday nights. So you can get 3 hours from Beacon of Hope every Saturday and Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. It's been a joy to be with you today. As always, it's so much fun to be here. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, along with Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Betty Thomas, Megan Kramer. God bless you. Have a great week, and we will see you next week. And it's not far to Jesus. Tune in again live next Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Not 3 a.m. 3 p.m. next Sunday afternoon. God bless you. See you soon. It's not